It is Thursday. It is September 4th, and you don't need to go to bed and then wake up to watch a football game. You will have watched a football game by the time you go to bed tonight, which means we've officially reached maybe it's not maximum football, but we are certainly entering football officially. Welcome to Damon Bruce Plus. Welcome to our good friend, Sam Batesh of Thinking Out Loud, Siciliano. And Sam, always a pleasure to double dip with you again this week. Sammy, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great. It felt right. We did two-a-days all the way up to the start of the season, and it is here, Damon. I mean, this is no more sleeps, right? We like to tell Ozzie and Jack and Levi, that, you know, okay, yeah, you gotta sleep, and then something's going to happen. No, you're right. This is about waking up today exactly where you want to be, because it's here. Your fantasy lineup, by the way, already everyone's panicked. Get it together. Get it in tonight. Devontae, Saquon, make sure you got CeeDee Lamb. Like, get them all in the starting lineup here. Lock it in, because it is happening. I cannot wait. And you know what? I just want to preface one thing. People are excited about opening night, of course. And you know my opinion about Thursday night football. This isn't about that. As a fan of a team that wins a Super Bowl or a championship of any kind, you did it many times with the Warriors in the Bay Area. You know what the least exciting day is, in my opinion? This one. When you follow a championship, the next season starting is actually like the beginning of the homework assignment all over again.
Here we go again.
Yes. Right now there's 32 teams that could be best instead of just you. So it changes the math considerably.
It does change the math, but we are here for that math. We're here for the competition. It's why the NFL promises more preseason champions than any other sport could even fathom to offer you. And that is part of the appeal. Everyone actually thinks they have a shot, where half the teams in baseball know their season's over by the time they're reporting to spring training.
That's it.
Football, it's done. Exists in a different universe. It really does. And it's why the universe is so successful. It's great to have you in our universe. Thank you for being here. Hit like and subscribe, please, across both channels. And we have always got to tell you that we're brought to you by my good friend Ike of Ike Sandwiches. I mean, let me just show you what you could be eating for lunch today. Go get yourself a Damon Bruce. Have a Damon Bruce at Ike's. Hopefully you live near an Ike's, or there is one opening near you soon. Our man Ike, go sponsor our man Ike. He's usually sponsoring me. You go support him. You get yourself taken care of. Think about Ike's for a group function, for your office. Check out Ike's catering and sign up for the Love Rewards program. We will be gathering at the Dubliner West Portal. Hold on, wait a minute. My logo's in the way. We'll drop it.
There we go.
Dubliner West Portal, baby, October 4th, 420, our next Plus Mania meetup at the Dubliner. It's going to be a great time. There's even a rumor that Sam might be coming up from Los Angeles.
October 4th. I got to tell you, it's right there in my birthday window. October 16th, the birthday. So this I could turn this into the birthday gift, would just be going to the Bay Area to hang with Damon. And we've had many ridiculous Saturdays. This would top the list.
Come on up, throw up on my couch. It'd be fantastic.
It's really a tradition that really needs to be repeated. Absolutely.
That is Sammy Goulash possibly joining us for Plus Mania again, October 4th at the Dubliner. But it's always a great day to go to the Dubliner, including today, kind of a gray, rainy day here in the Bay Area.
Shocking.
Right? And, you know, well, all I can tell you is football is officially here. And if you want more proof, you're going to have it on your TV tonight. And if you want to have even more fun, maybe you make a play around that game. We are welcoming in Sleeper as an official sponsor here to Damon Bruce Plus. Once again, Sleeper,
get this 100%, is great.
100% deposit match, up to $100 when you use promo code Damon. And by the way, the link that you need to click on is in the description of this video. And if you think you know football, well, Sleeper gives you a chance to turn that knowledge into real money. Download that Sleeper app. It is the ultimate fantasy sports app that you can turn game day into a payday. You download the Sleeper app, you go ahead and choose two or more of your favorite players, and you just pick more or less. Do you think they're going to hit the over or the under? You put as many together as you want. You can 100x your winnings if you go ahead and go full parlay there. Check out Sleeper. Of course, terms for use and details are all there. Terms and conditions apply, but check out Sleeper. And again, use promo code Damon to get a $100 match on your first deposit. Terms and conditions apply. Check out Sleeper and start having fun around your NFL action tonight. So we go ahead, we put their logo up in that corner. Thank you, Sleeper. We're going to go ahead and put this logo back up in that corner. And we are going to talk about Juwan Jennings here in a little bit and how, why wasn't this reached months ago? But we'll get there, because you clicked on this thumbnail because we thought that we would start this show talking about backfields. You know, Sammy, you were living proof last year that the right running back added to the right team is the sprinkle on top of a championship Sunday. There are some teams that maybe build their teams a little backwards and they put the cart before the horse, and maybe you don't need an elite level running back until you were a real contender. And then I would even argue you can't even be a real contender without having not just one running back, but a true elite backfield. So we are starting today's show, Sammy, talking about backfields, the best in the game, who's out there, who's got it. And I'm going to tell you, I made a list. I've got 10 teams. I've got what I think are the 10 best backfields. Every one of them is a contender. I think those two things might go hand in hand.
So I want to talk about what you just mentioned, which is the Eagles, Saquon, Jalen. We'll start there. But also, this is a Derrick Henry and Baltimore conversation as well. When you add that piece, what it can do and what it means for your team. So this is not exactly a fantasy conversation. This is a real football conversation. There was a moment, Allie and I went to one football game last season. It was that Rams-Eagles game where Saquon ran for 255. Against the Rams, 260-yard touchdowns in that game. He ran for another two, as we understand, in the divisional round as well. There is an image of Jalen Hurts smiling as Saquon is entering the end zone on his second 70-yard touchdown run of that day. That is the image. We actually get t-shirts made each season that kind of symbolize what the season could be. And that is what we went and put on the t-shirt for this season, is Saquon, him in the end zone, and Jalen just smiling ear to ear, because that's what the running game can do for your quarterback. I can't wait to see your list. I want to quickly rip through why we did this, Damon. So we were inspired by this because Bleacher Report a while back put together a list of the best running back duos. Now, this is before a few moves were made. And the reason you and I were inspired by this is because I said to you off air, if we're talking about best duos, I really think San Francisco is number one. I really thought, I thought the Brian Robinson with McCaffrey could go to number one. Now, you can see on this list, they were actually at six because it had it as Garendo. So right. Initially, it was McCaffrey and Garendo. I understand that. And we can rip through these real quick as far as what they are. You know,
feel really good. And you want a third guy on the depth chart. I mean, San Francisco's number one with a bullet if you like Garendo an awful lot. If Garendo and McCaffrey got you to six, what does McCaffrey and Brian Robinson Jr. do? Where does that put you on this list? We're going to talk about that.
Exactly. And so here you go. So five real quick was the Falcons with Bijan and Tyler. Makes a lot of sense. Four, this is, we're going to talk about this because I do have an issue with the way this is laid out for the Eagles with Saquon and AJ Dillon. The Panthers with Chuba and Rico Dowdle. I can't imagine that's actually the third best running game in this league. Tampa, yes. Buck Irving and Rashad White, absolutely. They were a force. They did a really great job. And then yeah, I think Thunder and Lightning right now in this league is defined by what we saw out of Gibbs and Montgomery for last season.
Fair. You know, I think another good way to look at this is not only like, is your best backfield making you a contender? It's, can I tell which one of the running backs we're talking about is your starting running back? Like, to me, that's why the Panthers are in this conversation.
Yes.
Which guy is really their starter? You got a starting quality caliber running back, but which is really the guy? You put them two together, maybe you got a star. I don't know. But yeah, I would say right now, Gibbs and Montgomery have done enough to hold this spot because we don't think that they can do it. They've done it. We've watched them do it.
They have absolutely done it. And by the way, what's also impressive about what Detroit did from a running back duo standpoint is that we actually saw them do this when one of them was injured. I mean, that was incredible, Damon. What Gibbs did without Montgomery there at the end of the season was also because they slaughtered Minnesota in that week 18 game. And a lot of that had to do, that was Gibbs almost single-handedly. And that was what was so impressive, is that, you know, both of these guys, and obviously both have been lead backs, one in Detroit and one in Chicago already. So this is a powerful duo. But when I really thought about it, all right, when we look at running games and what it matters, and yeah, we can do duos. If you want to put on the screen right now, I was putting together the top last season running games. Now, the Ravens did not show up in this running back duo list in the top 10 from Bleacher Report. Now, I think that's ridiculous because I think you can weight your number one running back that much, right? If we were doing quarterback duos in the league, I don't care who is backing up Patrick Mahomes, right? He's on a quarterback duo list no matter what, right? Mahomes and anyone at all that's ever thrown a football belongs on a list.
Patrick Mahomes and me is the best duo in football because of him.
Exactly. So to me, Derrick Henry, no matter what and who is next to him, and we know there are other guys there. Yes. And then it got me really thinking when I saw this list from 2024, what's the interesting part about this list? When you look down on the list, when I see Bills, when I see Eagles, when I see Ravens, and when I see Commanders, and Damon, I know that this is likely going to affect your list as well. When we look at Ravens, Eagles, Commanders, and Bills running game, who are we talking about other than the running back?
Right. I mean, that's the thing. We're clearly not talking about Baker Mayfield being a part of the Buccaneers running game, but other teams have other situations, and that is a difference maker. So let me give you quickly, we'll go through mine. I'll go 10 through 1 real fast, and I don't have a fancy, sexy visual.
That's okay. We don't even need it. What is more sexy than this? When we come, by the way, this is what we should be presenting all the time. Me and you side by side. I mean, this is truly what it should be. Yeah, that is true.
That's what I got for you. Had better looking than the both of us. Okay. So this is, I'm projecting here. If he's as good as what we think he is, and I also think that Jim Harbaugh is about to get more out of Najee Harris than they got out of him in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Omarion Hampton, if you believe that he's about to be your offensive rookie of the year, and Najee Harris, I got the Chargers with the 10th best backfield. The team that the 49ers are opening against, Kenneth Walker III and Zach Charbonnet up in Seattle, I got them at 9. James Cook, Ray Davis in Buffalo, I've got them at 8. At 7, Aaron Jones Sr. and Jordan Mason. Let's see if the 49ers don't have any traitor's remorse on saying goodbye to Jordan Mason. Maybe Brian Robinson Jr. is the guy that fills that hole. After that, I got the Buccaneers with Bucky Irving doing a lot of heavy lifting here for Rashad White, but I got Bucky Irving and Rashad White. Then I got the Falcons with Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. Then I got the Ravens on here, and it ain't because of Justice Hill and Derrick Henry.
No.
It's Derrick Henry and Lamar. With Lamar, who I do think exists in a quarterback space that not even Michael Vick existed in. Like he's a running quarterback with a level of running substance and sustainability where I'm not worried about him whenever he takes off running. Like Lamar is just, he's a bad motherfucker. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
Let's be clear about what you're saying, the difference here. And no one watched more of Michael Vick and rooted for him than me. I mean, yes, Michael Vick, there was a horrible thing, and don't let him babysit your dog. And I love him. He's a great man, and he is an incredibly changed person for what happened to him in Atlanta with all of that. But as an Eagles fan, yeah, as soon as he was in the end zone throwing it to DeSean Jackson, I was rooting, and that was it. I loved what Michael Vick did. But here's the difference, Damon. Lamar Jackson runs out of bounds. He is great at finding the first down marker and finding a foot out of bounds. Lamar does not put himself in a lot of dangerous situations, and you would think that he always is, but he's better than that. He's smarter than that, and he is finding out of bounds, which if you're a running quarterback, he's not reckless about it. So I love that. And again, your list is you are thinking about this the right way, because Lamar is any running back conversation, any running game conversation involves Lamar Jackson. It just does. You cannot put a list together without considering what he does.
So I'm not considering what Hurts does with his legs. I'm just looking at AJ Dillon. Saquon Barkley can't be that good 2 years in a row. So I got the Eagles at 3 with Barkley and AJ Dillon. I got the 49ers because of Christian McCaffrey's return and the fact that Brian Robinson Jr. It's just it's a room changer. That's a room changing trade. We have not talked about that trade and the gravity it could really pull towards the 49ers nearly enough. That could be a championship level trade for the 49ers if this season goes in the right direction. I think he's about to have a huge year if Kyle Shanahan lets him have a huge year. And at number one, like we just said, I think Detroit has earned the spot until they're knocked off the spot. And they might get knocked off the spot this year because their offensive coordinator is gone. And now Dan Campbell is the genius in the room. And no one ever said Dan Campbell is a genius. So we'll see. But I think Gibbs and Montgomery ruled the day. I believe in a healthy Christian McCaffrey more than most. Now you can say he hasn't been healthy. Well, he hasn't been hurt this year yet either, so I'm not going to chalk this up to a hurt year or damaged goods. If he's all the way back and is Christian McCaffrey again, that's a handful for this league. A healthy Christian McCaffrey is a handful for this league. I think you pair him with Brian Robinson Jr., that's a big handful. Again, Barkley and Dylan, Derrick Henry, Lamar, Robinson, and Algier in Atlanta. And then after that, it's a handful of very goods right behind him. I think James Cook is a guy who's been ready for that starring role in Buffalo and is going to have a monster year up in Buffalo. But you got to kind of add Josh Allen to that mix too, don't you?
It's a huge part of it. So I want to say this. I'm not even going to go through the 10. I love what you said about the Chargers because we know that Jim Harbaugh is going to lean into that running game. Everybody's excited about Hampton. We know what we've gotten out of Najee in the past. So I like that a lot, but I'm going to reslot this.
Najee Harris is going to need bigger shoulder pads this year because Jim Harbaugh is going to slam him into the goal line.
He is going to use him one eye or two eyes, whatever he's got. They are going to absolutely put him face forward running downhill. That's what Jim Harbaugh likes to do. So I do like that running game, but I'm going to look at it like this. I actually consider the teams with quarterbacks that are a part of their running game are the top running games, in my opinion. 4-3-2-1. I think the Ravens are number one. I think the Ravens have the number one running game because I think Derrick Henry and what Lamar Jackson does is a running game that you cannot mess with. Again, it was the top from 2024. They rushed the most yards. I could see that happening again for sure. Lamar just brings too much to the table. And you've got, again, this was, I believe they were the number two rushing offense for 2023. And in 2024, they added Derrick Henry. I mean, that's the most, they added the number one running back to the number one, to the number two rushing attack. I mean, that was staggering. And that put the whole league on alert. The Eagles are number two. I'm going to tell you why, Damon. You said you don't consider Jalen Hurts. And again, he's not someone that's going to take off and run in that way. He'll get you yards when he needs it. But can we at least identify the tush push is still here? This is a real thing. The tush push, that guaranteed yard, that guaranteed goal line plunge.
Dude wipes.
I love that.
You by dude wipes.
Love that the Eagles and who look, the marketing is here for exactly that. There are marketing departments for exactly what happened there. The dude wipes connection with the tush push is so brilliant, and I'm glad that it's here on our Sundays.
The Browns rolled out a dude wipe sponsorship. Somebody fell in the fucking Ohio River. The Eagles do it. It works perfectly.
And that's it. So I think the Eagles are number two, and I'm going to say Josh Allen, what he provides with the Bills, we're talking about the MVP who makes plays with his legs all the time. Now, I will say Josh Allen is a little reckless about it. I'd say that is number three. And what Jaden Daniels brings to the table, I have Washington on this list, and they don't have Brian Robinson anymore, but they must be excited about who else they have. There is the rookie that they're calling Jack, who right now a lot of people that are managing fantasy teams are upset. He was listed as the number four running back, but he had an amazing preseason. They're excited about him. But what Jaden Daniels does, what Austin Eckler can do, that rushing attack is going to be contended with this season. So I have four mobile quarterbacks as a part of the running team in my top four. And then I have the Niners and then the Lions. And here's why. Brock Purdy will also pick up yardage when necessary. I'm going to include him as well.
If we're talking about running backs who you look at and you underestimate them. It's easy to underestimate Brock Purdy just looking at the guy. He is more of an athlete than a lot of people want to give him credit for. He ran for 323 yards and 5 touchdowns last year for the 49ers. For Brock Purdy, that is a guy who can get around the corner. That is a guy who can live on a bootleg. And you can absolutely dial something up for him. And he's also smart enough to stay out of harm's way too. He knows he's not supposed to be out there taking big shots and lowering his helmet against, you know, safeties coming up on him. So I think he is a good, smart runner who is effective. I mean, really effective. So maybe again, how can I not have Jalen Hurts in that category though? Right. I mean, Jalen Hurts belongs in that category and we'll see that again tonight.
Look, we will see. I can't imagine that Sirianni doesn't have planned. As much as Sirianni's not excited about the banner coming down and he doesn't want to even talk about repeat or anything like that, I promise you his message to the rest of the league for the fact that the tush push did not get banned,
I'm opening with the tush push.
He will go out of his way to get this in the game. And you're right, Damon. I could see them on the wrong side of the 50 going for a tush push on a 4th-and-1. I could see that happening. And they'll probably just even do it on 3rd-and-1 just to show everybody we're ready. I think you're going to see it tonight.
How about 1st-and-10, first play of the year?
I love that. Just a
middle finger to the entire competition committee who wanted it ruled out of the game. Again, if you want it ruled out of the game, stop it first. Stop it first. And then, you know, we'll stop doing it. The minute you shut this down, we'll walk away from it, but you can't shut it down. Therefore, why would we walk away from it?
Miami did. Look, the Dolphins didn't build a dynasty on the Wildcat. Eventually, we figured that out, right? Ronnie Brown was a flash for a moment, and then it wasn't, and that's it. But this one has survived now 2 full seasons, basically, of dominating the league, and they're going to continue to do that. Jeff Stoutland, credit to him, the offensive line coach of the Eagles, they came up with something that right now can't be stopped. Keep doing it. They're going to keep doing it. I like that. Again, I hate banner night, but I'm excited tonight. But that's how I see it. I see the running games. I there are 5 quarterbacks that I see as part of the running game that I have as my top 5.
You hate banner night. You're just drowning in banner lifetime as an Eagles.
Not
fan.
At all. That's the other thing. That's the other thing. It's the most disgusting. It's the most disgusting thing I could say. It's reprehensible. I hate people that say things like that. You're right, Damon. But it's just one of those where, yes, the beauty of a team that wins a championship is the months of not worrying about a game and being able to just sigh. That sigh of relief of, wow, we won, and there's not even a memory of losing in a way. It's really, but tonight, that all changes.
I hate you right now. I hate you so much right now. Seriously, I hope the Eagles are locked out of the link. They can't even get in. They have to forfeit. The Cowboys win. Ha ha.
I deserve that without question. So yeah, go. So that's it for the running games.
Drew Sherman says, I just got hungry for some Ikes for some reason. Thank you, Drew.
It's so good. And Drew, by the way, so Drew's also our lawyer when we need him. Yeah, he's our lawyer.
Drew.
He is. You're right. So, and by the way, we got some questions for him about using timeouts at the end of that game for Dion, for sure. That was fascinating. And Drew's son, Max, is the one who, by the way, turned me on to the Damon Bruce sandwich before you and I were doing this.
Thank you very, very much. Yes. I appreciate that. By the way, when you're done eating your Damon Bruce, make sure you head to the Dubliner in West Portal for the best poured Guinness in all of San Francisco. And again, we got plays happening tonight. Where's football happening tonight? We're so happy to have Sleeper now a part of Damon Bruce Plus. And you get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Use promo code Damon. Use the link inside the description of this video to sign up for Sleeper. We are going to be playing together and making picks. We are going to make some picks tomorrow, as a matter of fact. We're going to have some pick the Seahawks 49er game action on Friday. So that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow on the show as well. We're going to be having some fun over there. And as always, do so responsibly. You know what I mean? Make good choices, kids. Make good choices. So anyways, it's awesome to have Sammy here. It's awesome to have all of you here. Please hit like and subscribe across both channels, if you would, please. Sammy, I'm trying to get to 50,000 by the bye week. We're going to have aggressive growth. I want Sammy to be at 10,000 at the end of this football season.
Yes.
We are growing aggressively. But there's only so much we can do. We need you, the good audience, to help us. Hit like, hit subscribe, hit notify. Thanks, as always, very much for a super chat. Fuji Simeon coming in saying, hey, please, no 49er quarterback legal lawsuit scandals this year. Yeah, how about just a scandal-free season? And that brings us to what we just went through with Juwan Jennings. And good God, you know, look, man. As we both said yesterday, Sam, nothing in the offseason matters once that coin flips week 1 and we're playing football, and now none of the conversation, none of the words matter. It's only action. Juwan Jennings being in football action for the 49ers is a good thing. We're happy that he's back. We want to see it. I don't care about the calf injury, real, fake, imaginary, doesn't matter. Nothing matters anymore. Catch the ball on 3rd down, move them chains, Juwan Jennings. That's what matters. But what I do not understand is after 2, 3, 4 contentious months of negotiation, what Juwan Jennings and the 49ers agreed to was the very first thing I suggested to get us through this issue in the first place. I said, Juwan Jennings just got restructured last year, so he doesn't get a whole new gift. We're not going to bake him a new cake, But if he wants one more candle and a few extra sprinkles, drop some incentives on this upcoming season, allow him to be a free agent, which he wants to be. That's where the big money is. But we're going to fluff you. We're just going to fluff you a little bit here. And that's exactly what happened. A $3 million fluffer to Juwan Jennings' existing deal is how this whole thing ends in a kumbaya, which Sammy should have been reached 3 months ago. The very first suggestion on how to solve this problem is what they do in the 11th hour after 3 months of skipping training camp and bad feelings and anxiety and all the bullshit and the million roster moves that you had to make because he was on it. Now he's not on it. Now he might not be on it. Now we got to bring this camp body in, this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. My very first suggestion is what happened. The Niners really need to like and subscribe to this channel. I will make your lives easier, 49ers. Listen to Uncle Damon's advice. Can you believe that something simple is exactly what solved what was never a complex situation to begin with? What the fuck did we just do?
I love when you're right because you're very subtle about it. You're very calm about it and you don't get excited about it. I will say you nailed this. We talked about sprinkles and fluffs and elevators and incentives and bonuses as a part of this, because how better to incentivize your wide receiver to play well when he thinks he's about to get an opportunity to play beyond what his contract is? You tell him simply this, and if you do that, we will pay you for it. We will pay you in the moments when it happens. I also want to preface with this, Damon, I love, and I just sat back while you got excited and red in the face about all of this, but I'm going to say this to everybody. These things are irrelevant beginning right now. We will not in the history of the San Francisco Niners, there will not be a chapter about Juwan Jennings holdout. This is gone. Much like at the end of the next, 45 minutes to an hour when we poof and we're gone for the day. This Juwan Jennings thing is such a blip on the radar, forgotten. It's ridiculous. And most of these things through training camp are exactly that. They're a bunch of bullshit that eventually gets sorted out. And for us, as fans, as football fans, as people want to sit and watch on Sunday for all of this glorious action, all we care about is that the players are where they need to be when the ball is kicked off. And that's going to happen. Now, my only caveat to that is this. This season, we had the most unbelievable thing happen, which is that I thought no player would not be on the same team that he was based on a contract dispute. And Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer. So right. There wasn't a team I had more peg to pay or overpay their players than Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And they sent their historically great, best defensive Hall of Fame future likely player to another team instead of paying him in a contract dispute. So I will say I have to shut the hell up about that. Once in a while, these things don't go well.
I would say you might need to shut up about that, but Jerry Jones is a little bit of an outlier here. You know, it's hard to predict someone who is on a vision quest to show that his ideas are the best football ideas in America, and he wants full credit for those ideas. I mean, Netflix, the Cowboy documentary, traded Micah Parsons as much as Jerry Jones in any financial consideration traded Micah Parsons. I really believe that.
You and I said it, and then I followed up and watched the entire press conference, and what did Jerry Jones do? I mean, where in a conversation about Micah Parsons and Kenny Clark does the name Herschel Walker belong? It doesn't at all. There is just no connection there in the world, and yet it happened in that press conference, and here's why. Because much like we credited you for being right about what Juwan Jennings now has, let's credit you and I for being right, because we said maybe, just maybe, Micah Parsons happened because Jerry wanted to put his stamp on a move that nobody could tie in any way to Jimmy Johnson. We are trading our best player away, much like we did with Herschel Walker. We are collecting draft picks, and we are going to turn this into championships like we did when we traded Herschel Walker. And guess what? Over the next 5 seasons, Jerry Jones has a chance to be right. And I want to remind everyone, don't decide about this trade based on what happens tonight.
Right.
The Cowboys without Micah Parsons, they may lose to the Eagles. They may have lost with Micah Parsons, of course, to the Eagles. And even if they beat the Eagles without Micah Parsons, let's see a couple of things first. Let's see Micah Parsons as a Packer, first of all. I mean, they've got a nice test, right? I mean, Lions Packers is a pretty outstanding way to start. They've got this stiff test to start. If Micah Parsons is the difference there, then yes, we can start to say it. But 5 seasons we need, because we have 2 draft picks that aren't assigned to anybody's name yet. And we're going to have to compare what they do as Cowboys to really have this make sense in our heads.
If you don't think your championship window is open right now, trading your demanding top dollar best player is not that abstract of an idea. It isn't. I would also tell you that as much as I'm a, you know, defense first, defense matters, defense wins championship cliche kind of guy, I really don't want to be giving $60 million to anybody who's not touching the football very often. I really don't. I mean, and now there's also a new price of poker that's being established around football live in real time right now. In a weird way, the NFL is having its own NIL bonanza, because we've seen, you know, positions attached to certain dollar amounts, basically watch that dollar amount double in real time. Like, we went from $20 million a year defensive end to $40 million a year defensive ends like that.
And again, Damon, what we saw in the Super Bowl was, yeah, Jalen Hurts got the Super Bowl MVP, but we could clearly say that there was a moment in that game where Josh Sweat could have been the Super Bowl MVP, where Cooper DeJean could have been the Super Bowl MVP, Zach Bond, Milton Williams, and frankly, Vic Fangio, if we really were talking about it. I mean, if assistant coaches were up for that award, he would likely be the Super Bowl MVP because of what the Eagles did to the absolute greatest quarterback in this game. Patrick Mahomes looked like a completely different person based on getting after him. So if it makes sense to pay quarterbacks $50 million, doesn't it make sense to pay the guys that are going to neutralize and kryptonite exactly that an equal amount? I mean, ultimately,
you would think so, but honestly, no, it doesn't, because those guys are not getting to the quarterback every single play. You know, I mean, Patrick Mahomes taken out of a Chiefs game plan is going to swing the line in Vegas 4 to 7 points. You know, all of a sudden, we find out Nick Bosa is not playing Week 1 in Seattle. That line's not moving, dude. It's not. It's not going to move. And if it's going to move, it's going to move like a half a point. That's it. There are guys, of course, he's a defensive player is a difference maker, but not a difference on every single
play. He's not touching the ball every play. Yeah. You're absolutely right about that. But again, if Max Crosby, if Myles Garrett, if Nick Bosa, if Fred Warner, if these are the guys that are ultimately shutting down the quarterback, it makes sense. I think we're going to see a day when highest paid non-quarterback might not be a qualifier. I could see that.
I mean, look, we're living in a world where these teams are worth, you know, billions of dollars based on revenue splits, means more money was going to get thrown at these players anyways. What I think is a mistake, though, is to throw money, this more money at the same amount of players. I would want more players. I would want more. I don't know why an NFL game day roster in 2025 is a 53-man roster. It should be a 60-man roster. And it drives me nuts that the NFL handcuffs itself to bad football becoming a reality when it could tie itself to, hey, favorite player gets hurt, your team doesn't drop off the face of the earth as much as you think it would, with the consistency of keeping guys in and around teams year over year over year. A couple of supers coming in. Fuji Simeon says, I'm surprised at the seriousness of Goodell and London talking about a future Super Bowl. Okay, so we weren't talking about that at all, but I'm going to just say, tell you this, Fuji Simeon. Number one, thank you so much for the super. And number two, he says, a 6 o'clock kickoff UK time would be 10 a.m. West Coast. Let me tell you who's start time will not be considered at all. It's the actual Super Bowl in London. If they have to kick that game off at 3 a.m. London time to have it perfectly timed for an American television audience, that's what's going to go down. Everyone can stay up late. Everyone can get to a game at 10 p.m. That's just the way it's going to go. Wherever the Super Bowl is, America, London, Mars, it will be tailored around an East Coast television start time, period.
They will hire DJs and hand out Molly in front of the stadium to have that thing start at 1 a.m.
Of course.
You are so right about that. It will be a rave. It will be the Super Bowl rave, and they will have everyone excited about what is happening all night in that stadium, whether there's a football game or not, because it will be a perfect American television show. We know that for certain.
Who's the halftime act? Molly! Molly Hatchet? No! Molly!
Molly, and more of it, please. Yeah. Exactly.
John Wallace, for the ganja jar, and you being right, Damon, the queen born you great. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Pretty nice.
That's severe.
The Duchess is there's only one of those. They're not making another Duchess anytime soon. But thank you very, very much. So look, football tonight. Juwan Jennings on Sunday. We could have talked about something else for the last 4 months had they just done what I said on the first day to make this happen. I know it takes two to tango, and Juwan really wanted to go to the mattresses. He went to the mattresses. He finds there's nowhere to lay down on these mattresses. So now we're back to day one ideas, solving a problem that never really existed in the first place.
Where's your leverage? I mean, that's the thing in life. It's a lesson to everybody for this, because frankly, whether you think Juwan Jennings got what he wanted or not, he theoretically got $3 million. Any of us, if we could have had a conversation with somebody and walked away with $3 million, that would be the greatest day of our life, right? For everyone that's watching right now,
for $3 million extra right now.
A $3 million extra conversation in your life is worth the conversation. And the key to that conversation is having it at the right time. And Juwan Jennings knew, and his agent certainly knew, that what's happening in this moment is Brandon Ayuk is injured. Deebo Samuel plays in Washington. We don't know what Pearsall really brings to the table. Equanimeous St. Brown is in and out of camp in a heartbeat. He knew.
Did you enjoy that?
That was a great era. What an era. Again, another chapter, right? We'll have the Juwan Jennings holdout and the Equanimeous St. Brown era as a Niner that we'll have in our book. But he knew that he was slotted for WR1. WR1 to start this season. And that was his moment to say, if I'm WR1, why am I getting paid in the middle of the pack? So he had to take a swing. And guess what? He earned $3 million. If, here's the best part, he only earned the $3 million if he lives up to that billing. It is a win-win.
You think you're the man? Well, go and play like him. Go and play like him. And look, I mean, if we're being totally honest here, Juwan, the reason why you're WR1 is because three other people had to get lost at sea for you to be named captain of the ship. You know, I mean, so.
But guess what?
Yes.
On that ship, it's the same ship, though, that has Mr. Irrelevant as the ultimate captain of the ship. So there is a lesson here that says when you get your opportunity. And by the way, this is also an organization that's telling you, if we give you an opportunity and you hit it out of the park, here's $50 million. So this is an organization that will pay if you prove your worth.
Joe Sullivan says, it's nice. The same deal that DB called for weeks ago. Thank you, Joe.
You know,
months ago. Day one, the very first day this was brought up, I'm like, here's how you fix it. Duh. All these months later, it's how they fixed it. Anyway, two totally different stories out there in terms of where Brock Purdy is in this league. One of them, Saquon Barkley was named number one in the top 100 most important players in all of football. It's a list that Brock Purdy did not even make. Players did not put Brock on the top 100 players list. But CBS Sports has Brock Purdy as the predicted Super Bowl champion quarterback and league MVP. So we have two totally different positions here on Brock. And that is, it speaks to exactly who he is in this league. And beauty really is in the eye of the beholder. I would say that the players, first of all, some of the biggest jock sniffers you will ever meet in your life are other athletes. They're huge jock sniffers in the jock community. And their list of what they think is the best is, I don't think, as valuable as a media list. I really don't. I think that those guys are too far deep into the forest where they can't see the actual woods anymore. And any list, any, look at it this way. The popular guy is the prom king. Popular and cool affects the players list probably more than the media list. Anyway, Brock will never be cool. Like Brock right now is in a commercial line dancing for Boots. He also sells John Deere tractors. Brock Purdy is never going to be cool. So he's never going to be on the players think he's cool list.
Although I'd like to say this about Brock Purdy. Now, first of all, a hat tip to my dear friend John Breach at CBS Sports. He wrote a great piece that actually outlined every team's record for the season, and included that in that was the Niners winning the NFC West, winning the one seed, actually winning the Super Bowl, going through the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, and ultimately knocking off, I believe he has the Ravens in that game. And so that would be special to see another Niners Ravens. This time the Niners on the right end of it is how he sees it. And he sees Brock Purdy as MVP. And here's why. He sees him as MVP and he lays it out very simply. So often the MVP goes to the quarterback on a top team. And certainly if the Niners coming off a 6-win season win the one seed, their players are going to be in contention for a lot of postseason awards. And that would make sense. For them to earn the one seed, we know Brock Purdy is going to have a pretty special season. So I could see that, especially considering we're 2 years away from Brock Purdy through week 15 being the MVP in this league. Until that game against the Ravens, he was the MVP favorite in Vegas. And that's it. So, and that was a season where they did end up in the Super Bowl. So crazier things we have seen. I love that. In regards to the top 100, Damon, if you watch the show, and NFL Network does an amazing job of this, I want to preface two things. Number one, that's not a list that NFL Network just asks people in the hallway. This isn't like the hair and makeup people being asked who's your favorite player and they come home with it. These are the players in the league determining who the best players are heading into the 2025 season. But I also want to preface that statement. Heading into the 2025 season, based on what? Based on what the players saw from 2024. Right. So the list is a little skewed in that it obviously is such a note to what happened in the past as opposed to what's going to happen in the future. Within that and during that show, Brock Purdy does show up in connection to the number one player. Brock Purdy heaping praise on Saquon Barkley helped him get that award, just so you know. Brock Purdy talks about how unbelievable Saquon is. They actually had the audio of when he was asked to come up with the number one player, and he had Saquon as that. And he said amazing things. I love Brock Purdy. I mean, again, I'm an Eagles fan, so I love what Brock said. Brock does have the potential to be cool, because here's why, Damon. You know what's cool? Winning the Super Bowl. And he
That changes everything.
Joe Flacco is considered cool now, right? And wasn't necessarily. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. He bet on himself.
Right.
And I mean, now he's cool for being like a cool dad. It's kind of like a dad bod.
But is he elite? That's the question.
Well, yeah. And who gives a shit, right? And really, who gives a shit? And Brock Purdy won't give a shit either, because even people don't know if Jalen Hurts is elite. And guess who doesn't care? Jalen Hurts doesn't care because he's smoking a cigar. So that's all.
I wrote one of my favorite offseason articles. They're like, this is the year where Jalen Hurts will prove himself. Not the Super Bowl. Not the Super Bowl wasn't a prove it year. Now is when he's going to prove. Okay. All right. Let's see. Anyways, we're about to, starting tonight, watch an entire NFL season unfold right in front of our eyes. Buckle up. It's going to be a really fun ride. What are some of the things along this ride that you're most looking forward to seeing, Sam? Your favorite new things that you think we'll see in this upcoming season? This could either be, you know, an international game. This could be a rule change. This could be a player on a new team. This could be a lot of things. What is something that you're looking forward to? I'm guessing commercials on Red Zone will not be one of them.
No. No, it won't be that. I mean, wow, what a massive change that is, right?
I can't believe ESPN didn't save that for the Friday news dump tomorrow. Now, here's the thing. We're brought to you by Ike's and the Dubliner and Sleeper. I understand sponsorships. As long as we're not missing plays, like you can run a commercial in a box. As long as I still got football on, I can live with it. There's a way around this to where it actually works. Let's see if they get it right.
I think they will. I think we've already seen the integrated sponsorship next to play-by-play, and I'm imagining that will continue. And I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt on that, because frankly, partnerships now are really seamless and understand what they're doing and understand that the consumer experience is still the most important thing. And the partners now want to be closer to that action than not, right? I mean, think about it. If you are a partner, would you rather be seen at the same time when people are actually watching what's happening, what they're there for? Or do you want it in the middle when they'd have a chance to leave that action? I'd want to be connected to the action. So I think it serves both parties to do that. And I'm going to give that benefit of the doubt. There are two things I'm looking forward to, Damon. Very simple. I'll leave it and I'll get out of the way so you can give me your two. But there are two.
Okay.
So number one, when we talk about international games, I've already told you, I would take away, now this is a wild, I would take away Thursday night football for an entire season of the 9:30 a.m. Eastern international game. I would take a Sunday of four time slots. I would take a Sunday of international 6:30 Pacific time, major kick at 10 a.m., afternoon games at 1 o'clock, Sunday night football at 5 o'clock. I would take that every single Sunday. So you will see more international games this season, and you will probably see one sprinkled on each season moving forward. I think we are closer to a day in which there will be an international game every week of the NFL season. I think we are closer to that than we think.
Yeah, no, I think it's coming. I think that the original intent of maybe putting a team over in Europe full time has morphed into this. And you've got these, you know, you've got these soccer stadiums who now are being occupied by NFL owners who have European soccer teams now in their portfolios. They're looking at this as, hey, I can put another date. You know, I'm not losing a game as much as I'm putting my product in a new place to sell it. So I think that there's going to be a massive, I do think we are going to have 17 international games within five seasons.
And the NFLPA should take a look at that and say, right, they should start building their argument right now. The players, remember the players used to hate Thursday night football because there were more injuries, right? The short week was costing players on injuries and they didn't like that. Now, if you do the math, could you potentially earn more as a league for having the early time Sunday as opposed to the standalone day on Thursday? Look, obviously at night is going to get you right. I mean, I just think the start time of prime time, but could you turn the idea again, Fox big noon kickoff, Damon, it's all conception, right? It's all perception, right? That game is starting. Remember, Fox moved the game in the opposite direction. They didn't say we're going to make it later. They said we're going to make it earlier and just call it cool.
Colleges hate that. Ohio State hates it.
It's making money and no one's going to complain about it now. So what if the NFL just told you that this game is cooler because it's earlier? What if we just started to understand that? It's a Sunday where we want to wake up early anyway and enjoy football. Now we're getting to it even faster. Could we turn early into cool? That's all we'd have to do.
All I can tell you, Sam, is it won't be either or. It'll be both.
And that's probably true.
You're going to get your Thursday night game. That's not going away. Where can we add another game? You have identified where we can add another game, and that's what I think is going to happen. It won't be one or the other. It'll be both.
And that's the
NFL is not giving a penny back.
No,
the NFL is not going to look at Amazon and be like, we're good. Thank you. We don't need your $1 billion. So that's never going to happen. By the way, Fuji coming in again says the 49ers have increased their rights in Mexico and UK. Yeah, they have rights to sell there and advertise there. And, look, doing business internationally is there's nowhere left to grow domestically, basically, for the game. Everyone in America who checks the box of I like football has already checked that box. You got to go find other people in other lands to check that box.
And everybody in the comments, I just want to say again, Damon, you identified it. The Super Bowl will not care what time, as long as it works for people watching in the United States. Nobody in the comments should be upset about these games happening somewhere else. Most Sundays, you're not going to those games anyway. And we're not talking about taking away something that you were going to. How many of us in the comments were going to a Jacksonville home game this season anyway? It's irrelevant.
It'll be on the TV, the same channel, the same time that you are going to watch it. Shut up. You know, it's just that simple. It's like you're complaining about the Cracker Barrel logo as if you ate the logo. What you want is biscuits and gravy. As long as the biscuits and gravy are on your plate when you want them there, you'll be happy. Who cares what the logo is? People are stupid, in case you haven't noticed.
And ChatGPT can make me a logo that I can put on a t-shirt of whatever I want Cracker Barrel to say, and that's it. So it's really irrelevant. And number two, Damon, so international, so I'm into the Sunday early slate. That's what I'm excited about, and there's more of those. That's number one. Number two, and you and I, we fight sometimes whether we are the old men yelling or we're willing to kind of move with the younger crowd into what's happening. The virtual first down marker, thank you very much. This is beautiful. Hawkeye for the NFL is so much. We are going to laugh. We're not going to believe when we're showing our grandchildren football that we're going to say in 2020 something, there were 2 70-year-old men who used to walk chain link out to the field to measure where there was a first down. And tennis has been doing Hawkeye for 10 years already. and the NFL finally caught up to it. This is such a no-brainer, and we've already seen how fast it happens on the screen. It's so perfect, and it ends the debate for all time. And anytime we can end the debate about where a football is and whether it's a first down, I am all for it. You will love it this season, enjoy it, and embrace it. And anyone who complains about that, I don't even want to talk to you. Are you somebody that likes rolling the window down in your car? I mean, I just like technology at some point is just better than what used to be there. And this is that case. Period. End of statement.
Virtual ball placement. Let's get the guessing out of the game. I had that as one of the things I'm looking forward to this year for sure. Let's say the 49ers get off to a great start. Does then Brandon Ayuk become the sprinkles on top that really puts him over the top? I mean, could Brandon Ayuk be the guy after all this anxiety and animosity and deleting things off of Instagram and all that? Could Brandon Ayuk be the guy who rides into town in the 10-gallon hat on the white horse and saves the entire day? I think that could be an interesting thing. I'm also interested in Aaron Rodgers' last ride, no matter how it goes. If he plays well, I'll be surprised and I'll be like, wow, you know, the Steelers culture really won him over and he's not a dickhead after all. And him and Tomlin really connected. Or it's going to be an unmitigated disaster. They're going to turn on him immediately. They're going to throw him off of bridges in Pittsburgh and they're just going to run that guy out of town and hate him all day and night long because they don't do bullshit in the city of Pittsburgh very well at all. So I have a morbid fascination in what happens with Aaron Rodgers. The Commanders' sophomore season of Jaden Daniels. To me, this is a fascinating thing. The Arizona Cardinals, year three, Jonathan Gannon. If you told me they went to the playoffs, I'd believe you. If you told me they had one of the first three picks in the draft, I'd believe you. I have no idea what they're going to be. I'm about to say something you haven't even thought about, Sam.
I love this. I love this. I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
Cam Ward.
Who?
Let me tell you who Cam Ward is, everyone, since nobody seems to know. Cam Ward is the least buzz ever generated by a young number one, saved to be a franchise guy, picked savior ever. Cam Ward has zero controversy attached to him. Apparently, he is at the facility at 3 a.m. He is just a worker. He wants nothing to do with anything that Shador Sanders wanted to do to look cool or sell a brand or anything. He is the opposite of trying to look at attention, seek attention, and guess what? No attention has found him. Zero. Now, this is really weird to me because nobody gives a shit about the Jacksonville Jaguars. But we were interested in Trevor Lawrence coming into the league. There is zero interest in Cam Ward. It is as if he was never been born, never got drafted, and does not exist. I'm interested in Cam Ward. What is Cam Ward? How come Cam Ward exists in a universe that doesn't even embrace him or talk about him when we're fascinated by all quarterbacks all the time except him?
He's number one, number one. He's a quarterback. He's going to start day one, which also doesn't happen as often anymore. So he should be. But think about this. If I throw out rookie names right now, how many are obvious to everyone in the chat that they are interested in just as much, if not more, than Cam Ward? Shador Sanders. First of all, Shador Sanders on the sideline, cutaways of Shador Sanders is still going to be a big deal during a Browns game throughout the season. As soon as Flacco stumbles, fumbles, gets sacked, throws in an interception, we're going to see Shador Sanders, and he's not even QB2 on the depth chart for the Browns, but that's what we're going to see. So there's Shador. There's Travis Hunter, by the way, playing both sides of the ball. You mentioned Jacksonville. So Travis Hunter is also a little more interesting than Cam Ward in that we don't know what we're going to see because we've never seen it. Anyone really trying to play an entire game or season on both sides of the ball. And I'll say this, the running back in Las Vegas, Ashton Jeanty, is more of a plug-and-play, instant-impact type of rookie that more people are excited about. And that has a lot more to do with fantasy football than it does with football. But that's a real thing. when you consider what this league is all about, it's a real thing that a player in fantasy could be more exciting than what you're going to get out of the natural progression of a quarterback. That's why. So I think there are four rookies that are more interesting potentially than Cam Ward. And I don't even think it's that crazy. And I think if anyone in the comments were to really be honest with themselves, they are all looking forward to that more than Cam Ward.
Oh, by the way, if you were looking forward to Amari Cooper reuniting with the Las Vegas Raiders, you probably shouldn't be. Here is the story that is broken in just this last hour. Five-time Pro Bowler retiring after 1 week reunion with the Raiders. So thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this NFL season, Amari Cooper. We hardly knew you. So
I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised. And we're just dealing with it in the moment that it hits us. But a couple of things, Damon. You were talking about Keenan Allen and coming to the Niners to help solve all the issues at wide receiver. And I threw out the name Amari Cooper. Why is Amari Cooper not coming back here? This is a guy that's familiar with the Bay Area, obviously with his ties to the Raiders back then. How about coming to San Francisco? I thought it would be a great move. Amari Cooper is part of maybe the greatest play of Josh Allen's MVP season when Amari Cooper catches the ball in the snow against the Niners, is held up, tosses the ball back to Josh Allen, who then runs into the end zone. I mean, that's one of the most incredible. By the way, the catch by Amari Cooper on that play is incredible. It's a one-handed catch also that Amari Cooper makes on that play. I love everything about it. Amari Cooper isn't somebody who had nothing to bring to the table. This is surprising to me. I liked the idea of Pete Carroll, Chip, Geno, Ashton, and a little touch of
money.
Amari.
I mean, he was coming back to make some money this year. And he looked around and said, Raiders, no thank you. Or he looked at his own body and his body's like, we can't do this anymore. But a week with the Raiders is all Amari Cooper needed to say, actually, that retirement thing that I was talking about, I wasn't joking after all. So
thanks, but no thanks.
Sorry for JT the Brick, wherever JT is right now. By the way, we have 130 people in the room. We're not even at 70 likes yet. So
what are we doing?
Just tap that thumbs up button. Thank you so very, very much. A couple of things that are not football related. And Sam, we got to start wrapping up here because I get to the other side of San Francisco in just a minute for a doctor's appointment. How about Tar Heel Mania, though, if you don't mind me saying? That didn't last very long, did it? Do you think that either Robert Kraft or Tom Brady were rooting for Bill Belichick on Monday night there? Do you think that they were rooting for Bill? And that did not last beyond the Tar Heels opening offensive drive.
Let's be honest. You and I root for each other in life. We're very excited for each other's successes. We celebrate that together. But, Damon, if you and I were vying for the same exact position, if we were both playing quarterback for a team and one of us only gets the start and the other one doesn't, as much as we root for each other, in the back of our minds, if you got the start over me, as much as I'd want you to succeed, if something were to happen, I know that it means good news for me. It does change that. We're all selfish when it comes down to the ultimate, whether it's going to benefit my life or your life. Yeah. That does separate the room a little bit. And in regards to Belichick, Brady, and Kraft here, and we don't need to do the who gets the credit because they all do, but I do think that there's a part of Brady always who will chuckle when he looks at Belichick not succeeding without him. No matter, I just think that will always be there, no matter what. And you know that Belichick wasn't pleasant to be around during that dynastic run, right? We know that. So there's a part of Brady who's always like, you know what?
Zero dinners, right? Wasn't that Brady's problem? Zero dinners.
So I finally get to tell you, fuck you without saying fuck you, right? That's kind of nice. Like, just look over there and wink like, hey, you know, good luck without me. And it's one game. That's fine. But it was glorious. And I thought it was funny that Kraft was asked about putting a statue for Belichick next to the Brady statue eventually. And Kraft said, when he retires, we will do that. And I'm thinking, maybe he's going to retire sooner than we thought.
Yeah, you might want to call in a metal worker and have him start working on that bad boy. By the way, can we just all hope that Jordan Hudson's 15 minutes of fame, like, she's down to about 8 minutes now, right? I would hope.
We gave her 45, I think. So yeah, absolutely.
I hope she's down to about 8 minutes of fame. Thank you very much for coming, Jordan Hudson, which is what Bill Belichick says every night. Okay. This Kawhi Leonard, Steve Ballmer thing. So we still don't know what really happened here. And apparently the Clippers are trying to defend themselves and saying, hey, you know, there's a lot of failed startups and this was one of them. And there was a real intention to make this tree company work. And, you know, paying endorsers is what, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there might be truth to all of that, but I don't believe any of it. And Steve Ballmer, you got caught cheating. And there's no doubt in my mind. And this should be Steve Ballmer being fined half the value of his franchise. That or sell it. You can sell or you can pay half the value, but there's no $10 million fine for a guy whose $10 million is equivalent of a nickel.
They're not going to make the Clippers sell themselves again.
Right.
I can't.
But that's not going to happen. But I think he's fined half the price of the Clippers, and he should be forced to live in the second apron, which he tried to skirt with this fugazi no-show job that Kawhi Leonard had. Kawhi Leonard should be suspended from the NBA this entire year because he knew what he was doing too when he was doing. He should not be allowed to pay. He should not be allowed to play, but Ballmer should have to pay him and then pay half the value of his franchise to remain in the NFL, or you got to go, because what you did is just cheat the game in a massive way. And a guy like Joe Lacob, trying to do things the right way, has had the second apron. It's called the Joe Lacob rule. It should be like, because Lacob tried to spend money to keep a good thing going, he gets punished. Steve Ballmer and the Clippers should be punished severely here. Also, you're still the Clippers. No matter how much you cheat, no matter how much you try, you're just the fucking Clippers, which is hysterical. I love that for the Clippers.
Okay.
What I also love here is that Pablo Torre right now is on a heater like nobody else in sports. We should probably assign Pablo to topics in the world that are more important to sports, because he is the last investigative journalist apparently out there really working, spending months of research, going over thousands of pages of documents to find things like this. Pablo Torre, take a bow, kid.
So I watched Pablo Torre yesterday. He was up at 7 a.m. Pacific time. He was on with our good friend Scott Kaplan and George Sedano. They do a radio show here for ESPN LA, and Torre was on with them in their first hour. They moved to mornings this week. He was on around 7:30 with them. They did a great 30-minute conversation. Good for Pablo for doing all of this. And you know what? When you can catch someone doing this, document it, it's pretty exciting, and good for Pablo. I also want to say this. Any conversation involving aprons, if it's not in a kitchen, I don't want to have it. I'm so uninterested in an apron conversation unless it is going to be something delicious eventually that I can eat. So I'm not worried about that. I will also say
the hamantasha.
Exactly. Hamantasha in an apron, fine. Other than that, I don't need it. But for those that think that what Steve Ballmer did, or suggest that Steve Ballmer wouldn't do this because he wouldn't be stupid enough to do this, I think Steve Ballmer is smart enough to do this. I come from the school of not, I don't want to say if you're not cheating, you're not trying, because cheating is not necessarily the word I'm looking for, but finding the fine line between what is and is not acceptable in regards to paying players, and what an endorsement or a partnership is for a player and what it isn't based on what it might be tied to. The fact that Steve Ballmer found a way to get Kawhi Leonard an extra $28 million to, by the way, at the time, bring the biggest bombshell of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers, which nobody saw coming. That story on a Friday night was as big as the Luka story. When Luka was traded for AD, that was the only story I thought of, was when Kawhi and Paul George became Clippers. It was at that level. And for Ballmer and the Clippers to do that was amazing. The real shame of this, Damon, is this. The real shame is not that Ballmer got him here and found $28 million, however the hell he had to do it. They made that deal. It might have been shady. I'm okay with that. I actually, you know what? I commend the Clippers for taking a huge fucking swing. You know what the problem is, Damon?
They cheated.
No. You know what the problem is? They didn't win anything.
Oh,
that's right, the problem. The problem is Paul George and Kawhi Leonard was supposed to turn this league on its head. No. And it never fucking happened.
Not even close.
That is the shame. The shame of it is that they don't have anything to now say, well, it was all worth it because ...
If that's this is true, the shame. Though, even if they had done that and they could at least say, well, the ends justify the means. This, if to me, there are too many coincidences here to say that this was above board, that this was going to happen, that this was the right thing. And I want hellfire to rain down on this level of cheating. And if it doesn't, Adam Silver is a feckless piece of shit as a commissioner. Seriously. Seriously. And Mark Cuban's already defending this, like saying, you know, I'm on Team Ballmer and let me explain what happened here. No. If there's one thing I do know is that billionaires will live to cover up each other's bullshit at all times. That is being proven in real time. Show me the Epstein list. If you tell me I'm wrong, show it to me. I don't believe anyone trying to say that what I'm seeing here isn't what I'm seeing.
In regards to calling out Adam Silver, I just want to at least give him credit, because Adam Silver, the moment that made Adam Silver beloved by all the players in this league as commissioner, is of course of something he already did to the Clippers. He took the Clippers away from Donald Sterling.
Right.
I mean, that was okay. So he has a track record with this particular organization of slapping the hand when necessary. So we could see that, Damon. I want to give
Better
him
do it again. Better do
I
it
want
again.
To give him I will oh, give him the grace.
A million times worse than Donald Sterling using the N-word. Okay, a million times worse, because Donald Sterling's vocal racism doesn't affect competition in the NBA. Circumventing the salary cap does. So Donald Sterling can literally throw a Ku Klux Klan party at center court. It doesn't offend me as much as this at all. This is offensive to me. Of course, Donald Sterling is a racist old fuck. He's an old racist fuck. Look at him. Of course he is. I'm surprised by that. None. Zero. He has been chicken hawking and cock goggling NBA locker rooms his entire life. Everyone know that Donald Sterling would bring in his rich friends to check out NBA dongs in the locker room. It was talked about for years. This is worse than that. It just is. So, you know, it's not the NBA's job to solve racism in America. It is the NBA's only job to make sure that the competitive balance that this league has agreed upon is right there on that balance beam. This was a clear attempt to tip that competitive balance. I think Steve Ballmer should be thrown out of the NBA. I really do. I think it should be that severe, but it won't happen because he's got enough money to sit at the poker table as long as he wants.
It's a nice building, too. It's a nice building.
I heard it's a nice building. You're probably getting charged for a bucket of French fries right now.
They have a photo of my nose, and anytime I leave the house, they can charge something to my nose based on facial recognition. It's hilarious.
Are you ready for today in history? It's not a big day of birthdays,
let's go.
But we do have a guy who really helped my life out. Damon Wayans turned 65 years old today. But for Damon Wayans on In Living Color, Damon Stoudemire of the Portland Trail Blazers and Damon Bailey of the Indiana Hoosiers, I'm still being called Darren, Devin, David, Darren, David, Darren, anything other than Damon. But Damon Wayans made Damon popular. Thank you on behalf of all Damons to Damon Wayans, who turned 65 today. And as we've told you during our live watch parties, Beyonce still looks really good bent over into that washing machine, doesn't she? Beyonce, 44 years old today. Beyonce, happy birthday to her. Today in 1682, Edmund Halley discovered the comet that he named after himself. Happy birthday to Halley's Comet today.
I was
1682.
I was enamored by Halley's Comet. I remember my mom did. My mom, who's a bit of an artist, but she made T-shirts she had her own rendition of what Halley's Comet was. I was so fascinated by the idea of being able to see Halley's Comet for the times when it happened. I don't know why. That was like a Loch Ness monster type thing for me. But Halley's Comet was cool. I loved Halley's Comet and chasing it in the sky.
Happy birthday, Los Angeles. Today in 1781, the city of Los Angeles was founded. So there you go. Dodger dogs for everybody. Today in 1888, George Eastman patented his first roll film camera, and he registered the name Kodak. How about that? Happy birthday, Kodak film.
There was something about, and we're so different these days. Obviously, every picture you take, you know immediately what it looks like. Wasn't there something beautiful about taking a roll of film, not knowing what was on it, Damon, waiting a day or two, and then getting it and realizing what was there? It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. There was a beautiful mystery to what was on that roll of film. And now we'll never know. I mean, now you can't even fathom that idea anymore. But that was cool when it happened.
Yeah. By the way, Smiley Dan, it did help when Richard Dawson was Damon Killian in The Running Man. That pushed the Damon ball down the field a little bit, but it was Damon Wayans in Living Color that scored the touchdown that changed the arc of me explaining what my name was my entire life. I have to explain it to everybody. In Living Color happened, and everyone then was like, oh, okay, Damon, I get it.
Now we get it.
The Caucasian Damon, the rarest of Damons.
That's pretty awesome. Running Man, by the way, it's outstanding. An underrated Schwarzenegger movie.
Great movie. Today in 1957, Ford introduced the Edsel, one of the biggest business flops in the automotive history. In case you were wondering, they call the Cybertruck the modern Edsel. That's how big of a flop that thing is. So there you go. That's the biggest douche alert ever. I mean, can you see a Cybertruck and not think that is the douchiest person in the world driving that? If you have a Cybertruck, you are douche. Just so you know. If you have a Cybertruck, basically what you're telling the entire world is this is the only truck I've ever owned. I've never actually wanted a real truck, because if you ever wanted a real truck, you would have never wanted a Cybertruck, you douche. That's how that works. Today in 1972, Mark Spitz won his 7th gold medal at the 72 Munich Olympics. Unfortunately for Mark, other things happened at that Olympics, which overshadowed that moment for him. Also today in 1972, The Price is Right began a revival with a host named Bob Barker, and it would become the longest running American game show ever. We've got Bob Barker as the greatest game show host of all time being hired today. Price is Right relaunched. It's a hit today in 1972. Speaking of, hey, it's a hit. Who do you think's really watching this? Horny dudes and lesbians everywhere. Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh, man.
Today in 1995, Xena Warrior Princess with Lucy Lawless made its debut.
What a show. I mean,
this was before the WNBA was really out there for the lesbian crowd. So this is what I guess lesbians watched. It was what Queer as Folk. But Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah, queer after the straight guy. Yeah, yeah. But you're. I loved Lawless. I loved Lawless. That was special. That was special programming.
Very special. Very special. Today in 1998, Google Inc. officially established. They filed their incorporation papers. Sergey Brin and Larry Page. Good investment.
Good luck to them. I hope that works out.
I really hope it works out for them.
I don't know that I need that. I mean, I'm searching the internet for what? That doesn't even make sense. Whatever. Good luck. Good luck to them. Sounds like an interesting idea.
Can you name anyone who ever won American Idol other than Kelly Clarkson?
No, because I believe Jennifer Hudson was a runner up. I don't think she won it. So she's got a great career from it.
By Clay Aiken.
Yeah, Clay Aiken. He looked a little like Morales. I think he won it. He looks a little like Morales. So I used to make that joke. So I remember Clay.
Anyways, today in 2002, Kelly Clarkson won the first season of American Idol on Fox. Today in 2002. Here's the thing. I don't like her music, but she can sing. I'll give her that much. She can really sing. She can carry a tune in a bucket for sure. That girl can sing.
Damon, since you've been gone, and no, it wasn't Clay Aiken that looks like Morales. It was another guy. I'll bring his name up at some point. But yes, I do remember Clay Aiken. No, it's not Clay Aiken. No. There was a guy that won the American Idol who
literally the opposite of Morales.
It is the opposite of Morales. You're right. I'm taking that off the board officially. Boom.
Speaking of being taken off the board officially, today in 2006, stung by a venomous bull stingray, we lost Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter. I loved the Crocodile Hunter. I loved him. I loved his personality. I'm a sucker for an Australian accent. I thought his wife was kind of a cute wife, too. I thought his kids were adorable. I was a big Crocodile Hunter guy. It sucks that he's still not with us. It really does.
I would be watching that still today. And imagine on YouTube. Crocodile Hunter. Yeah, I mean, imagine on YouTube just the amount of content that would be there now because of that. I do. I loved everything about that. And I am that's one that I'm sad. And I know you got a lot of people who said, this is like what happens when you kind of live by the sword, die by the sword. There was a lot of that. And I'm sorry. And by the way, it's Taylor Hicks who looks a little like Morales when he won it. Okay. Taylor Hicks has a little of Morales in there. And that's who I was thinking of. But I would be watching Steve Irwin today. Yes, do whatever he wanted to do. And I mean, again, anyone who's around dangerous animals, like I commend that. And I'm fascinated by all of it. And probably because of Steven Spielberg and Jaws is why. But yeah, that's a tough one.
Today in 2014, we don't do a lot of celebrity deaths here, but today in 2014, we lost Joan Rivers. And Joan Rivers there was nothing like Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers wasn't appreciated enough in real time. I don't think she's appreciated enough posthumously. My favorite Joan Rivers story ever was she was supposed to have a meeting at the Windows of the World, which was the restaurant on top of the World Trade Center. She was supposed to have a meeting on September 11th in the restaurant that obviously, tragedy happens, tragedy strikes. New York City is, you know, grinded to a halt, rightfully so. Joan Rivers reaches out to the woman that she was supposed to have breakfast with and says, "Are we still meeting at Windows on the Ground?" That is comedy healing. That is Gilbert Gottfried doing his Aristocrats bit right after his joke about he had a connecting flight at the Chrysler Building. That is pure genius comedy that's unafraid. Joan Rivers was so much more than what are you wearing on a red carpet. I love Joan Rivers.
There's a great comment here about Joan Rivers, perhaps that the series Hacks on HBO is maybe, you know, in a way, about a tip of the cap to Joan Rivers. If so, great. And for those that aren't watching Hacks, please do, especially now that Damon has made that connection for all of us, you know, or the comments did. But I love it. I love Hacks for that reason. But Joan Rivers was, yes, she was a gem.
I've never seen Hacks. Jillian's trying to get me to see it. You know what? I just started. We just started. I'm going to do Hacks. I hear it's great. We just started The Studio. Ooh, with Seth Rogen on Apple TV. Fantastic. Really, okay. Really good. Really funny.
I will dive in with you now for that because I've been told many times. Yes.
And you being down in LA,
it's stupid. I got it. Yeah.
Twice as hard. It really will. Thank you for being here today with us. Thank you to Sammy for stopping on by. If you would please hit like and subscribe to both channels. And if you would please at all times, take care of the sponsors that take care of us. Our good friends at Sleeper. Again, right now, you can use the promo code Damon on the link in the description of this video and get a $100 match up to your first deposit, up to $100 over on Sleeper. A great way to have fun this NFL season. We're thrilled to have them along all year long. Thank you to my man, Ike. As always, sign up for that Love Rewards program. Start earning your way towards free sandwiches, my good friends. And we will hopefully see all of you at the Dubliner West Portal, October 4th, 4:20. We're going to get really safe outside with Smiley Dan. And then we're going to go inside and we're going to spin some vinyl and we're going to have a really good time. And like-minded people will be together at the Dubliner October 4th. Maybe even Sammy drops on by. Thank you all so very much for watching. And please do remember that sports don't build character, they reveal it. And like that, they're gone.